Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do. Put on the kettle, make a little brew. That'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's another week. It's middle of July. Can you believe that? Middle of July. Of course, American schools have been broken up for a month now. They're breaking up for another week, week and a bit in England. But they're here. They're there. And of course, we've got the weather. Well, we've got a bit of weather here on the East Coast, Ryan, in Connecticut. A bit hot. Bit sweltery, bit of storms. It's just like being in Florida, I think. But it's been like that sort of thing. Not so much in England. They did touch over 100 in England a couple of weeks ago, as I think I told you. But it's been a bit more misog with the sort of weather this last week or so. But I'm sure it will catch up. And I'm sure the weather we had takes about 10 days if the weather goes across from the east coast of America to the UK. That's my sort of advance warning to my family, saying, oh, you've got some bad weather coming, or you've got some nice weather coming, and stuff like that. Anyway, if you go back through time, even if you just do the 20th century, there was all sorts of different fitness fads, whatever came along. Like if you go to the 1930s, the one of the main pieces of equipment for all the exercise were Indian clubs. Big like the sort of original jugglers clubs, all the sort of exercises you did with that. And then after the war, you had music and movement with people like Eileen Fowler. And then the sort of more music came along as it's picked up through the 60s and the 70s and everything like that. And all these different ways and different fads and try this and do that. You know, if you're a bloke, you had to be Charles Atlas, you know, and get the muscles and everything like that. And Jane Fonda with your socks, your knee-high socks and everything. But it was all different. There was different fads. But not everything fits everybody. Not every type of exercise is a sort of a cookie cutter type exercise. For instance, you know, growing up in the sort of 50s, 60s and 70s, we had natural exercise. We walked to school. You know, we sort of ran to meet our friends. We played down the fields. We did this, we did that. We had, you used to walk to school mile or so you save your money for the tuck shop instead of getting the public bus, because we don't have school buses in England. It's public transport. And even when you're going to work on public transport, you walk the length of the platform, you climb the stairs at the station end and all this sort of stuff. Of course, when I first came to America, it was totally different, because there's no such thing, of course, as public transport in America, so you don't have any. And the mighty car rules, that's why you've got all these drive-throughs and everything like that. And I couldn't believe when I first went to a mall, and I was sort of standing there waiting to get back in the car, you know, to go home, and these people came out one side of the mall, got in their car and drove around to the other side of the mall, because it was too much for them to walk across the length of the mall. So what do? We open up fitness centres everywhere. That's another story. Anyway, my guest today, she is a personal trainer and health coach who's worked on health and wellness for a couple of decades now, and she helps people get through this ever-changing advice that goes out there that it seems to change every other year. Do this, can't do that, eat this, don't eat that, you know, all this sort of stuff. Anyway, she's got a book about this out now, but we're going to talk to her first and find out a bit more about it, because on the show today I have the one and only Daniela Deu Forest, or as I'm going to be allowed to call her, Dee Dee. Hi, Dee Dee, how are you?
Hello, Barry. I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm excited to chat with you about Own Your Wellness.
Okay. Now, obviously I'm in my 70s now, but I've done exercise and sports all my life. My body's falling apart now because of it, but hey, you know, you did all this stuff and everything like that. But as I was saying in the beginning, there are so many, this is the thing this week, this is the thing next week, oh, you can't do this, you can do that, and this must be one of the hardest things for a trainer and a health coach, is the constant changing that, oh, everybody fits into this box. You're not, everybody's different.
Absolutely, everybody's different. And, you know, as much as we've had conflicting advice, like you were saying in the past, you know, these fitness fads and trends that come and go, it's even more overwhelming now because of social media and our devices. You know, you get this information just bombarded. It's kind of never ending. You know, I can't tell you how many times in a week I have a client ask me about supplement this, supplement that, exercise, you know, whatever, because there's always something new and exciting. And, you know, my best friend lost weight doing this, and my husband, you know, got better doing this. So, you know, I spend a lot of time trying to get people to just slow down, consider how this new thing may or may not support their goals. Yeah. You know, like, just because your best friend had a good result, like, well, what is their situation? You know, what are they working on? How are they eating? How are they sleeping? So, I just wanted to find a way to simplify things for people, to give them a template to figure out, how should I adjust my nutrition, my movement? Should I consider testing to figure out what's wrong with maybe my gut health or my hormones? Do I need supplements? And if so, how should I implement them and bring them into my regimen strategically? So
I think you hit the nail on the head with the template, because that's what you need. You need something that people can use as a basis. You've got to have a starting point no matter what. You've got to have and a target. I mean, you know, you could say, well, I want to lose I want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, well, have a couple of vindaloo curries, that will get rid of it. After all, you only loan a curry, you never eat it.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah, you know, but the bigger question is, it's one thing to have that goal, right? But then why do you want to get there? Like, you know, I mean, it's fine to say you want to lose 20 pounds, but what are you going to do? And maybe you get some momentum going with that, and you're doing the right exercise and you're eating well and all these things, but you're going to have days when you don't want to wake up and go exercise. You don't want to eat your vegetables that afternoon, you know, like, whatever it is, if you remind yourself why you're trying to reach that goal, is it just because you want to look better in a pair of size 34 pants? Or is it because you want to not have diabetes or heart disease and you want to be there for your family for the next 20 years?
Right.
That's a little bit more powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reason.
And you can, and I'm sure you've come across this, go the other way. You know, you get these people, well, I want to lose another 20 or another 20 or something like that. And in the end, it becomes an obsession with them. And they go too far. And suddenly they're nothing but skin and bones. And you get into the anorexia type of thing. Do you sort of come across that, where people literally go too far the other way?
In all honesty, I come across it less now than I used to. You know, I was born in the 70s, raised in the 80s and 90s. And back then, the vision of health was thin. Right? And I fell prey to that ideal. And, you know, and I ruined my health because of it. You know, I ended up finding out I had osteoporosis when I was 28 years old, because I had robbed my bones of the nutrients that I needed to thrive. So, you know, but nowadays, in all honesty, I think because of our technology, because we move so much less than we used to, even 20 years ago, I find that people are just more likely to fall back into complacency, to fall back into a sedentary lifestyle than they are to go overboard.
Okay. Yeah. So I understand. I'll have a week off. Give me another couple of. I did a couple. Yeah. I'll eat kale today. That will do it.
Exactly.
And then give me another.
Yeah.
You've got this book out called Own Your Wellness, giving you the tools to break through your health plateaus. Now, this is in a crux. That title is it. Own your wellness. It's your body. You know what to do with it. You know, and with people like yourself helping, definitely can help guide the person to take the responsibility, to find out what they need. They know the target they need, and to own it. Is this what you set out to do with the book?
Absolutely. You know, I can only work with one person at a time. You know, maybe I can do a group session, but I think we could all really use a health coach on our side, somebody to help us understand how should I eat, how should I move, what should I do. But, you know, when clients ask me, like, I'll have people walk in the door and say, you know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it.
Yeah.
That's not helpful to them. I mean, maybe for a week or two, but what are you going to do when you go out to dinner?
Yeah.
I'm not there with you. You know, what are you going to do when you're having Christmas dinner at grandma's house? Like, this is your life. And I wanted to give people tools to figure out how to make decisions, how to course correct when things go off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things, and I'm not sure if you touch it in the book, is, you know, this day and age, times are hard. Food is expensive, no matter what country. Now, it's not just an American thing, it's global. And this is what Americans don't understand, that all this is global. But you need to tailor your cloth to what you need. You need to, what you can afford. You need to sort of look at, my grandparents used to, you know, this is what they, we used to use the apples or do this and do that and go around the alleyways getting the fruit or you know, herbs that mint was used to grow wild and stuff like that. Yes, you don't have to have the low fat this, that and the other. You can go to a cheap greengrocers or cheap shop and stuff like that. Yes, the stuff's there. You don't have to have it that it's all totally organic and costs five times as much. Just
no, and I think
eat.
That I
yeah sorry
yeah there's a lot of that chatter. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of books, and you know, you should only eat grass fed and it should only be organic and it should only. Well, you know what? Not everybody can do that.
Exactly.
You know, and I would much rather, like, if McDonald's is what your budget can handle for lunch, you know, fine. Well, I can help you find a better choice there. You know, like, it doesn't have to be a triple Big Mac or whatever it is. You know, like, we can find things that at least will not hurt your health going forward. And I get frustrated when I hear, trust me, in a perfect world, we would all be supporting regenerative farmers. We would be, you know, dropping our carbon footprint. We'd be eating, you know, all homegrown vegetables for sure.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality, I would argue, for, you know, probably 90% of the population. So you just need to do the best you can with what you've got. And, you know, when I speak in the book about nutrition, figuring out what to choose at the grocery store, what your general diet should look like and how maybe it should change throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the easiest ways to save money in a grocery store is to eat seasonally.
Yes.
You know, there's a reason blueberries, I can get, you know, 2 pints of blueberries for $7 right now.
Yeah.
Because they're in season.
Exactly. I mean,
eat what's in the front of the grocery store and on special, you've already saved yourself some money and
you've gotten, and
it has more better nutrition in it, better vitamins and minerals, because it hasn't been shipped from South America.
And I know that obviously, you know, with COVID and everything, people were started going back to things, to growing their own stuff, to bottling, mm-hmm. to freezing and stuff like that. Like you say, when stuff's in plentiful season. Supply in season, yeah, then okay, do it, bottle it up, deep freeze it, so you got fresh fruit if you want later on in the year without having to spend a load of money. I believe, and when I first came to America, this was it. You get your papers with your coupons off. Shopping in America, food shopping, was an art form. you used to get the papers and you used to say, well, I'm going to go to this shop for this and this, sugar's a dollar off, okay, let's get three bags of sugar and I'll stick them in the shelf, and then it's not going to go off, and when you need it sort of thing, then you got it. So
I remember clipping coupons with my mother when I was probably 10 years old. Yeah. And I had them, I would be the one who would go with her to the grocery store, and I had them organized by the aisles.
Oh, really? Oh, good for you.
Oh, yeah.
good for you. And I think some of that's come back as the price of food's gone up and with COVID and everything. And I think that's it. And I think, so saying, with your book, Own Your Wellness, the fact that you're able to lay a foundation for people to set up this template can help them work their way through that part of it as well.
Absolutely. And also knowing when to make changes. Mm. We all are, we're creatures of habit. Humans like a schedule. Humans like predictability. But at some point, what you're doing is going to stop working for you. Right? We are evolving creatures, right? Yeah. We're getting older. There's no stopping that. So as our bodies change, as our personal chemistry changes, we have to start making adjustments to how we move, what we eat, even maybe putting in some different supplements than you tried before. Because, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, usually in their late 40s to early 50s. And, they've always been in good shape, or it was always pretty easy for them. And then suddenly they're putting on the pounds, they don't have any energy. And so they just try to do the things that they've always done, but do them harder. Instead of doing 3 hours of cardio this week, I'm going to do six. Instead of eating 1500 calories, I'm going to only have 1200 calories. Well, that is just additional stress on your body. It's not going to make you any more fit. It's just going to make you more miserable. So
believe me, it catches up with you when you get older.
I mean, I'm only 47, but the things I do to stay in the shape I'm in now are significantly different than I did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they need to be. And I imagine 20 years from now, they'll be significantly different too.
That's it. And that's, I think, one thing that people just don't realize, that, as Bob Dylan said, the times they are changing. Well, the bodies they are changing. When I was in my sixth form at senior school, which is 16 odd, we had one person, and it was an all boys school, and we had one person in that whole year that was over 6 foot. Now mm-hmm. they're over 6 foot in junior schools, sort of thing.
That's a good point. It's a good point. And, I talk in the book a little bit about, I remember when I was in elementary school, I went to school from kindergarten all the way through fifth grade with the same kids. Mm-hmm. And I only remember there was one little girl who was overweight.
Right.
In the whole school. Mm-hmm. And I still remember her name, because she was such an outlier. In 1982, there were not heavyweight kids. Just wasn't a thing, And now, you go to the schoolyard and it's stupefying.
It is. It certainly is.
So we have to, it's not just about owning our wellness, but it's I am fully aware that my daughter, who's 13, she sees some of the choices that I make. She sees that I move on a daily basis. She sees that I work hard. They pay attention to the choices that we're making. And they figure out, oh, that's good, that's bad, that works, that doesn't work, you know, and we need to model that behavior, you know, for the generations to come.
In your book, Own Your Wellness, do you sort of set up like tools and tips and even strategies, you know, that people can work on and find out what's right for them?
Absolutely. That was a great question. So I have read, and I know you've read a ton of books too, but I can't tell you how many health and wellness books I read. And I always have these, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, I love, I'm going to try that. And then 2 weeks later, I've forgotten everything, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want people to do that with this book. So every few pages, you take a break from reading and you fill out questionnaires so that you can apply what you just learned to your own life. How is this going to work for my goals, for my body? And then at the end of the book, you take all of these little charts that you've filled out and you put them together into one cohesive wellness plan for yourself all together. And then I even teach you how to fix it when it stops working for you.
Oh, do you set out goals like that, or do you tend to try and let people see that the things change and that the goals shift because life changes?
Well, I think it's important that you have some sort of goal to work towards, you know, and that it's something that you can actually tangibly say, oh, I got there. I'm almost here. You know,
yep.
Like it's important. I think we all need that little carrot in front of us. But while we're figuring out that goal, also figuring out why you're going to get there, you know, so that you can stay motivated when the days get hard. And then how to evolve that goal once you've gotten there, right? Like maybe your first goal was to lose 10 pounds and be able to do a push-up. Great. Mm. Now that's easy for you. What's next? You know, so, you know, helping people evolve those goals as they're getting stronger and healthier is important.
Indeed. In your book, Own Your Wellness, which gives you the tools to break through your health plateaus. What sort of response have you had to it?
I have had wonderful responses, and I love when people hit me up on social media or send me an email and tell me that they, you know, they've made a change and seen great results. I had one woman tell me that she just changed what she was eating for breakfast. She got rid of her oatmeal and started reaching for a high protein breakfast, which was one of my suggestions in the book. And she lost more weight than she had hoped for just from this one change, to the point where she was worried she'd lost too much just from changing her oatmeal for breakfast.
Wow.
Because it wasn't just the oatmeal, right? It's because by making that better choice for breakfast, she was making a better choice at lunch.
Yeah.
And dinner, you know, and it was setting up the rest of the day to be more successful. I had another client tell me that, you know, he'd read in the book that he should consider a CoQ10 supplement if he was on a statin. Mm-hmm. His doctor that week prescribed a statin for the first time. And, you know, he did his research based on the information in the book and, you know, implemented the supplement. Anyways, it's little things like that just get me so excited, you know, that people are really taking these strategies that I suggest. They're just suggestions throughout the book.
What?
And then you take one and roll with it, you know?
Exactly. I was, while you were sort of saying that about the change and stuff, I was thinking it's like a Formula One racing car. They don't, every Grand Prix, they sort of try this and, or, you know, they tune up this or try that. They never leave the stuff from race to race. There's always, you know, trying to tinker and make it a little bit better and little than that. And that's what you need to do. You know, you get the what's working for you, but then you might have a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, the weather might change. you've got some cold weather and hey, you need some more stodge in your diet. So I think, you know, it can be required sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing I do discourage people from doing is from making too many changes at once.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
Because then you just don't know what's working and what's not working. And in particular, I find that people really get into trouble with this when it comes to supplements.
Yep,
You
indeed.
know, first of all, there's a reason it's the last chapter of Substance in the book, because, you know, if you're not eating right, if you're not moving every day, you know, if you haven't figured out if you've got, you know, some blood sugar dysregulation or hormone issues, then you can supplement all you want to, and it's not going to fix the problem.
Indeed.
So, but when you do, it's important that you consider, A, will this supplement support my goal? And then B, how does the supplement interact with other things? You know, like, are there other minerals or nutrient deficiencies that might become an issue because of the way the supplement works with my body? Don't start taking four or five things on the same day. You know, I mean, I suggest supplements to my clients for very specific reasons. They are very powerful, you know, they can really impact your health. And then people are suddenly surprised when they, you know, they've got nausea or they've got a headache or whatever.
Yes,
well,
yes.
You got to come at it slowly.
Yeah, very, very
much
so. Very much so. Well, it's been great chatting to you, and I know we could go on with this for a while, but time is beating us. So, Dee Dee, what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so that you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and your book and a few other things that I know you've got on your website. So over to you.
Thank you. Yes, please visit me at dfitlife.com. You can also find me at ddforest.com. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn as d.d.forest with two R's. You can buy the book on my website or on Amazon, Target, Books a Million, Walmart, you name it. I'm all over.
Okay. Well, Dee Dee, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you, Barry.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that? Daniela Dayou Forest. Dayoub in the middle of Forest with two R's, we said, or Dee Dee, as we were saying, about her book, Own Your Wellness, Give You the Tools to Break Through Your Health Plateaus. And it's the sort of thing that you need for a basis. And that's what she goes into. It sets the start line, explains a few things, goes through it. You take power. You take control of your wellness. You take, you know, set it for you. Own it, in other words, which is what the book says. Own your wellness. Well, that's it for this show. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning and in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheese up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo. Tickety-boo, isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One love for two, tickety-boo.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.